I'm excited to be here. What a blessing it is to have our own place, to be able to do something on Good Friday and something on Easter Sunday as well. So super excited to be able to do that. Going to open in worship as we always do, and we're going to sing today, maybe like we've never sung before, because our Savior is risen. But before we do that, if you do have any offerings that you have brought, let me pray over the offering, and then I'll ask Mr. Steve to come forward and take that. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Passion Week, as it's called, because you are passionate for us. Your love is unending. Your love is unconditional. I thank you for what you did on Friday, and most importantly, what you did on Sunday, such that we could have a relationship with you. As we go forward out of here today, may we be resurrected in our faith. May we be even more excited to say, I follow Jesus. In your name, I ask you to be with us in this next hour and in this day, that we would celebrate it mightily in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wasn't there to kiss Jesus on the cheek.
I wasn't there to trade my conscience for 30 pieces of silver.
I wasn't there to betray my beloved rabbi to corrupt spiritual leaders.
But I am Judas.
I may not have kissed the face of Jesus, but I caressed the face of pop culture.
I may not have chosen silver as my price, but I trade the love of my Lord, my King, for vain worldly riches.
I may not have betrayed my friend to murderers, but daily I hand over faith and hope to the enemy.
I wasn't there.
But I am Judas.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there to interrogate Jesus about his authority in order to condemn him.
I wasn't there to petition the crowd, fearfully looking for a scapegoat.
I wasn't there to wash my hands in front of the multitude, shifting the blame for his crucifixion.
But I am Pilate.
I may not have interrogated Jesus, but I have questioned his sovereignty in my life.
I may not have petitioned the crowd, but I have valued the opinion of the world over what God has written on my heart.
I may not have publicly blamed others, but I make excuses when I choose wrong
I wasn't
over
there.
Right.
But I am Pilate.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there to divide up Jesus' garments by casting lots.
I wasn't there to offer him a bitter drink on the cross.
I wasn't there to pound the nails into his hands and feet, to hang him on a rugged cross.
I wasn't there.
But I am the Roman soldier.
I might not have taken his clothes, but I squander the fruits of his creation.
I may not have offered him a bitter drink, but I offer broken worship to a perfect king.
I may not have driven in the nails, but my sin hung him on that cross.
I wasn't there.
But I am the Roman soldier.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there to promise the Lord that I would never forsake him.
I wasn't there to deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed.
I wasn't there to feel the nail-scarred hands embrace and restore me as a faithful follower.
Wasn't there.
But I am Peter.
I may not have declared my allegiance to Jesus during the Last Supper, but I make promises to him that I fail to keep.
I may not have denied Jesus to a servant girl, but I have been fearful and failed to defend my faith.
I may not have seen the wounded hands, but at the feet of the same Savior, I am forgiven, renewed, and anointed with purpose.
I wasn't there.
But I am Peter.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there alongside Jesus hanging on a cross for my crimes.
I wasn't there to ask him to remember me in his kingdom as I died.
I wasn't there for the Lord to promise me that I would see him in paradise.
I wasn't there,
but I am the thief.
I may not have been punished on a cross, but I deserve death for my sins.
I may not have asked Jesus to remember me in his kingdom on the hill at Golgotha, but I have asked him to write my name in the book of life.
I may not have heard God's promise when on a cross, but I have his assurance that I will see him in heaven because of the ransom he paid for me that day.
I wasn't there,
but I am the thief.
I wasn't there.
When the last breath left his lungs.
When the veil was torn.
When the earth shook.
I wasn't there.
When they wrapped his body and placed it in the tomb.
When they prepared the spices and walked to the place where he was buried.
When they found the stone rolled away.
I wasn't there.
When they exclaimed,
He is risen.
I wasn't there. Where was I?
They were my sins that were hung on a cross that day.
It was my freedom born when the veil was torn.
It was me who can exclaim with joy and confidence, He is risen!
I am Judas, a betrayer.
I am Pilate, a coward.
I am the Roman soldier, a persecutor.
I am Peter, a renouncer.
I am the thief, a forgiven child of the King.
So the question is, were you there too? We live in a world where there are people who haven't placed their faith in Jesus, who behave more like Christ than some Christians. Some believers attend a worship service during the week. Then they go home and they deny Christ by doing things that don't glorify God. Some Christians read their Bible during church but ignore the application of its principles taught from His Word. Or they find it easy to pray God's name and praise His name while hanging out with other people, but they hesitate to talk about Him at work or at school. We teach on Christ's humility, His servants' hearts, His generosity, His kindness, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His sacrificial love for others. Yet there are times we don't demonstrate those character traits in the way we live. We say that we want the world to know Jesus and to have life to the full, but we fall short when it comes to tell the world about the life He has to offer and how to follow Him. When Christians live in a way that's questionable or contrary to God's word, we create confusion instead of clarity. We may not have been there 2,000 years ago for the events of that first Passion Week, but we too are guilty against sinning against God. But as we discussed in our Good Friday service, Jesus knew that His death was the only solution so that He could offer you and I a new life. He had the cross in view and He had you in mind. And while sin has separated us from God, Jesus came to break the bonds of sin for you and me. This is the amazing message of Easter, God's ultimate act of love, is that of sending His Son, Jesus Christ. His blood was shed, His body offered as a sacrifice to heal our brokenness, by which those who accept His free gift of salvation are given hope and receive life. Near the cross stood a group of women, including Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene. The only disciple that's recorded at the cross in the Bible is John. Jesus gave John charge of his mother, perhaps because Jesus' own brothers still didn't believe in him. When Jesus died on the cross, his followers, his disciples, they all thought the worst. It was Joseph of Arimathea who went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body to ensure he was given a proper burial. He took Jesus' lifeless body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb, Mark records in chapter 15, verse 46. At the burial was only Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph. While Jesus' followers mourned his death, 3 days passed. And it was now Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, our day of hope. Let's read Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection from chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed and their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again." Here we see an angel appears to the women after they entered the room where Jesus was laid, the tomb, and informed them of Jesus' resurrection. And we could read in both Mark and John that the resurrected Jesus first appears to Mary. Let's read in John's account, chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they've put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Then Mary left and went to tell the disciples the news. She said, 'I have seen the risen Lord.'" Let's stop right there and capture something important in our outlines. Jesus saw Mary. "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Jesus had predicted his death at least 3 times, recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For example, this, his second prediction, found in Matthew chapter 17, if you want to look it up, verse 22 and 23, Jesus said, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.' And the disciples were filled with grief." John records even more predictions by Jesus of his death and resurrection. He told his followers on several occasions the events of Good Friday would occur. He said the Son of Man would go into the hands of man. He told them he would be killed. But he also told them 3 days later he would be raised to life. Jesus intentionally came to die for our sins. He gave his disciples these predictions about his death and the events that would follow, because Jesus said, so that when it takes place, you may believe. John records this in chapter 14, 28 through 31. He said, "You have heard me say this. I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me," Jesus said, "you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world would learn that I love the Father and do exactly what he's commanded. Come now, let us leave." It seems that Mary, and if you read the entirety of the resurrection accounts across the 4 Gospels, Jesus' followers, They all initially forgot what he told them. But those feelings of discouragement and fear quickly and dramatically changed to resolute, unshakable faith that Jesus would use to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples, followers, a multitude of 500 at one time, Scripture tells us. The resurrected Jesus would continue to walk with, continue to teach them for another 40 days. Then 40 days after the resurrection, they went with Jesus to Mount Olivet near Jerusalem, Scripture says. There he promised his followers they would soon receive the Holy Spirit. He instructed them to remain there until the Spirit would come. Then Jesus blessed them and he gave them his blessing and he ascended into heaven. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, tells us what happens next. Verse 9, it says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking at the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. You know, being seen is such a desire for each of us. The acknowledgement that we are here, that we're real, that we matter. Jesus saw so many people in his earthly ministry, from the pressing crowds to the tiniest child, he saw them. But he didn't just look, they were seen. Truly seen. Seen by Jesus.
He saw me.
They experienced his love and his compassion.
He thirsted and asked me, a Samaritan, for a drink. Me, from a different country, different race, different from him. But he saw me. Saw an opportunity to make a difference. He called out my sin, and instead of leaving me thirsty, he offered a fountain of living water springing up to eternal life. Grace. Free now from bonds I had created.
He saw me at my worst, on the run from the mob with their stone raised. Me, about to be killed by the law that showed no pity. The stones hoisted, the crowd screaming, the end was close. Yet, he was there. He was not looking at me, but he did see. They challenged him, arguing they had the right. He replied to let the stones fly, if there was no sin. The law had no reply. Stones dropped. I was alone, with him. He had no stone. Instead, he offered me a second chance, new life, a way out, sin no more. I walked away, alive.
He saw me. I was earnest. I wanted to know from this man, what can I do to gain eternal life? I quoted the scriptures, made my case. I summarized it all by saying, one needs a heart totally devoted to God. He complimented my knowledge, and yet I didn't feel it was enough. Love your neighbor as yourself? I needed more. Who's my neighbor? I asked. The story he then told, a good Samaritan and an act of pure mercy and love, of a man who saw another in need, truly saw and acted. Jesus then told me, go. Do the same. Love unconditionally. My eyes now truly opened.
He saw me in the house of Simon,
Jesus had been invited there to feast with the righteous, yet strangely shunned by them too. I was far from those, yet I needed him, to see him, to be seen by him. I came in, crashed the party. They objected, tried to turn me away, but Jesus saw. Not a person who had made so many mistakes, so many wrong decisions, but a person who was worthy. I fell at his feet, weeping, washing his feet with my tears. Objections flew from the righteous. They saw sin. He saw me. Me, hungry for mercy and grace. He was moved. He said my welcome was extravagant, and in contrast to what he had not received when he arrived. The words, those beautiful words, daughter, your faith has saved you. Saved.
He saw me. I was a leper, polluted, separated from everyone else by the law. Hopelessness reigned, despair my daily bread. Then, Jesus, nearby now. Should I chance it, I thought? Do I dare have any hope? Would he be willing? Yes. Yes! He is the one. The only one. I came to him and he came to me. He saw past the disease that scarred my body and soul and responded when I shouted, I want to be clean. He touched me. Me. The unclean. One that no one would touch. No one would love. No one would see. Now made clean in body and soul. Clean. At last.
He saw me. I was there, at the treasury in the temple. I still grieve the loss of my husband, knowing that without him my life would be so hard. I wondered what would become of me. My money dwindling, no family in the area, life looked bleak. But my God has provided. My God is providing. And my God will provide. And if all I can give him today is, well, everything, represented by these small coins, then so be it. I gave, in faith, and as I walked away, I saw that he saw me, my faith, my sacrifice. Maybe it'll help others see too, others who feel lost and can be found. With faith.
He saw me, a thief, a criminal. My friend and I finally caught after our last crime spree. Locked up, no more freedom, no mercy from the court. Too many chances given to us to rehabilitate. Change our ways? No. But now, the victims testifying against us, how their lives were shattered by our acts, we were found guilty. Condemned to die in the worst way possible. I hang on that cross with my friend and him in between. My friend berates the man, this Jesus. I can't stand it. My friend's insults, and I come to his defense. We truly deserve this, I say. But him? No wrong in him. Leave him alone. It got quiet. I looked over again at this man. Why was he here? It was almost like he allowed this to happen to him. My life was sweeping away, and I knew there would be no eternal mercy. I looked back, and I pleaded, Jesus, remember me when you enter your glory. He looked at me and saw not a lost cause, but a repentant heart, and he gave the gift of life. Life with him, forever. Mercy's door opened, free at last.
These people 2,000 years ago, and so many have seen by Jesus, they experienced his love as he walked among us, his compassion, and his deep desire to see all be set free.
He gave me living water to drink. He saw me.
He didn't condemn me. He saw me. Challenge me to love unconditionally as he does. He saw me.
He said my faith saved me. He saw me.
He touched me and made me clean. He saw me.
My God provided for me. He saw me.
He told me I'd be in paradise with him. He saw me.
And he sees each of you. You know, you and I may not have been physically there for the events of Passion Week 2,000 years ago. But as far as Jesus is concerned, we were there. It was our sins that he took upon himself on the cross. All of them, past and future. Not only were our sins on the cross that day, so was the resurrection of believers from death into life. On that cross, Jesus was specifically thinking about you. Jesus knew the cross wasn't the end of the story. He knew the grave wasn't the end of the story. God's story is eternal, and Jesus came to offer his most beloved creation life with him forevermore. Don't miss this important point, because Jesus sees you. You can add that as the second point of your outline. Jesus sees you. Jesus saw through the grave, and what he saw was you on the other side of those 3 days. Jesus could see that future day when he would call you out, just like he did Mary. I see you. I see you, Pastor Robert Cullum. I see you, insert your name. Jesus sees you because you matter to God. Jesus sees the person that's in the midst of a tough day. He sees those who are riding high in a mountaintop when all is going well, and just like he sees those that are in a valley season, a time when some things are really not going so well. He sees all those who feel alone, those who feel like no one cares for them. Jesus sees and cares for those people. He cares for you. Jesus says, I see you, to the one who's struggling to know their purpose in life. And he says, read that John 10:10 verse. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. I see you, those who are like lost sheep without a home. I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I see you, those struggling to find satisfaction in life in all the wrong places. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm so grateful that I serve a God who sees me and whose presence is with me each and every day. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is the single most important factor that differentiates Christianity from all other religions. No other religion has an empty tomb. Sin and death defeated. Through Jesus, God displayed infinite power. His resurrection declared victory over death, over sin, and over Satan. Having been eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection, the disciples and the early church spread the gospel with ultimate conviction and strongest of confidence. Despite early persecution, which for many disciples resulted in their death, their confidence remained unwavered. Follower of Jesus, you serve a risen Savior, and he still sees you. The question is, will you and I answer like Mary did that day, 2,000 years ago at the tomb, recorded in John 20, 16 and 18, where she says, Rabboni. She calls him a teacher. And then she says, I have seen the risen Lord. Like the early church, you and I have every reason to live with ultimate conviction, the strongest of confidence. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our teacher, the one who came to model and instruct us how to live. And we celebrate our Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. Friends, we serve risen Lord, and that same confidence held by his followers, it's got to characterize our life. His resurrection is the very reason why we say what we say and why we must do and be different than others in the world. Before the worship team comes forward and leads us in praise and worship, would you just bow your heads with me and join me as I pray? Lord Jesus, this Easter and every day after, may my light shine. May the light of every person here and those watching online, may their lights shine brightly for God's kingdom. May our words and our actions express overwhelming gratitude for what God has done, so that those around us will be drawn to investigate the reason and the purpose behind our differentiated lives, so that we can help others come to know they have a God who sees them, who loves them, and wants a personal relationship with them. And if there's anyone here who's watching online, here in our presence, who has yet to enter into a saving relationship with you, draw them to you. I ask you to speak to them clearly and tell them that, son and daughter, I see you. That they would know how much you love them and how much you care for them. You saw through the cross and you saw them through the grave. Jesus, I pray today is the day that person puts their faith in you. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you can do this in your heart, like Mary. I have seen the risen Lord, she said. Today the risen Lord wants to meet with you. Just tell him, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for my sins, and I ask you to be my Lord, to be my teacher. God, thank you for unconditionally loving us. Thank you for your sacrifice so that we could be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.